Dozens of people are searching for a missing hiker in the
21-year-old Riley Zickel set out on an overnight hike by himself.
Clallam County Sheriff's Office is searching for a missing hiker on the Olympic Peninsula.
John and Trevor Higgins, the father and son, were last seen Friday. They disappeared while hunting near Bear Camp Road above Agnes.
21-year-old Riley Zickel, the senior at Lewis and Clark College, disappeared.
An emotional plea from friends of a woman who is missing right now in the Skamania County wilderness. She's 19 years old, Maureen Kelly.
Searchers are looking for a 76-year-old farmer who did not come back from mushroom hunting near Grangeville.
Hello, and welcome to the Pacific Northwest Missing Persons Project. I'm your host, Tanner Hoskins, director of the Pacific Northwest Missing Persons Project and co-founder of Pacific Northwest Bigfoot Search. In today's podcast, I'm going to share our experience from the field in our search for Dawn Parkins over the weekend of April 19th through the 21st, as well as discuss a recent missing persons case that has had my attention since it began in November of 2023, the David Schultz incident out of Sac City, Iowa. This is the strange case, no matter how you look at it, and I'll be sharing some theories that continue to be brought up to our attention by viewers, listeners, and followers on social media. The other part of today's podcast is going to focus on a cluster of missing person cases out of the Grangeville, Grangemont, or Fino, Idaho area. This region of Idaho is where my adoptive mother was born and raised, and she told me countless stories about this region, just mostly discussing hide-behinds, things that loggers experienced in the area, and her own firsthand experiences with a level of high strangeness. No matter how you view it, there is something strange occurring in this panhandle area of Idaho. All right, with all of that being said, let's get into today's episode. So over the weekend of April 19th through the 21st, our team of six searchers went out and scoured an area along the Malala River Recreation Area in very close proximity to the Table Rock Wilderness. The reason for our search was to look for any sign of Dawn Parkins. Dawn disappeared very, very close to the southwestern edge of the Table Rock Wilderness. During our search, we focused on what was reported to us by the family to have been Dawn's physical abilities at the time he disappeared. Our team searched a clear cut that had been thoroughly searched by search and rescue, as well as search zones that were south of where Dawn's vehicle had been located. We spent 74 hours of man time clearing 8.5 miles of terrain. And unfortunately, we came home without any definitive clues as to what may have happened to Dawn, but it was still a successful operation in the idea that we cleared terrain that we know he could have traversed easily. We also searched sections that we had trouble traversing, just in case, because you never know what an experienced outdoorsman and hunter will do while in the field. So you got to take everything into consideration. There's a few other things that we had to consider as well, but I'm not going to go into detail about that just for the family's privacy at this time. I will say it was a heartwarming experience to get to know the Parkins family during the lead up into our investigation, as well as the opportunity to meet the Parkins family themselves. We were really hoping that we would be able to bring some kind of answers or closure to the family, and we are a little bit disappointed that we weren't able to do that. Luckily, we can also pick up where we left off at anytime we want in the future, knowing what we saw along the way, with the data that we have from tracking devices on our GPS units to GoPro footage of the area that we have already traversed. We can rule out certain sections that we know Dawn could have easily reached with the physical abilities that were reported to us by the family and by law enforcement agency investigating. All right, the other thing I really want to discuss is the David Schultz incident. I'm calling it an incident. I don't know if anybody else is, but there's a level of strangeness here that really makes you question some of the theories that you, the listeners, consistently send our way through social media messages or emails to the podcast. And before I touch base on what those theories are, I have to explain what exactly occurred to David Schultz, as we know the facts to be as of today, April 26th. David Schultz was a 53-year-old truck driver. He had just went and picked up a load of hogs just prior to Thanksgiving of 2023 and was seen on traffic footage or some kind of video footage passing through the town of Sac City, Iowa. That was the last time David Schultz was ever seen until today, where an Iowa medical examiner has officially announced that David Schultz's body has been recovered. David's truck was found at a rural intersection north of Sac City, Iowa. The sheriff's office went out and immediately began a search and rescue looking for David. His phone and his wallet were left in the cab of the truck. According to the sheriff's office, they cleared over 100,000 acres in search of David Schultz. During their search, they found no clues of where he might have ended up. Well, recently, a farmhand or a rancher was out in a field 1.5 miles from where David's truck was located at the intersection and discovered a body that had been very badly decomposed at this point. Now, think of how search and rescue cleared over 100,000 acres looking for David, didn't locate anything. David, a seasoned truck driver, for some reason at that intersection, shut off his truck, left his wallet, left his phone, and walked 1.5 miles to his death. A seasoned truck driver knows not to just shut off their vehicle. Usually they leave them idling all the time. The truck is rarely ever fully shut down. What could possess a sound-minded father, a loving husband, to suddenly shut off their vehicle, leave their phone and their wallet, and walk to death? The state medical examiner has declared that David Schultz died of exposure. I don't know how they can 100% confirm that, but it matches a strange profile of bodies being found in areas that were previously searched, and the only cause of death that they can figure out, and by they I mean medical examiners, is that the person died of either exhaustion or exposure. Now, some of you listeners and followers on social media know that I've been following this case. And you've already sent me your theories as to what was going to happen. And a few of you sent emails today telling me what you'd think happened. Now, one of these theories floats around the idea of UAPs and UFOs. Unknown aerial phenomenon, UAP, or unidentified flying object, a UFO. An organization that I follow, known as the National UFO Reporting Center, or NUFORC.org, that's NUFORC.org. There are over 170,000 reports of UFOs and UAP activity on this website. And I only reference this website for any of the information that involves UFO or UAP activity. According to this website, a witness saw a strange lighted object flying in the area of Sac City around the same week that David disappeared. This is a constant theory that gets brought to our attention, and it's hard to rule it out when what a person should be doing no longer makes any kind of sense to us. When you're investigating a missing person, you have to wonder if there's something else at play. whether that's foul play or something occurring that we really can't make sense or don't know about at this point. There are countless outdoorsmen of all walks of life who have claimed to see UFOs and UAPs in the wilderness. There are hunters that have written into us telling us about strange lights they've seen off in the distance in an area that had no roads and most likely did not have another hunter. People that have seen lights in the tree lines next to them that they swore were headlights. Strangeness. High strangeness. You can't rule that theory out. And while I do my best to use sound mind, the David Schultz incident does not make sense. And I'm going to leave that at that. I can't go into my own theory of what happened. You kind of heard the theory that I lean most towards. And there's no proof out there. It's just a conspiracy at this point. But there's something happening in our rural and remote areas that does not make any logical sense. All right, I'm going to have to leave that topic right there. If I continue down that rabbit hole, which I could, this would be a very, very long podcast episode. So let's get into my adoptive mother's old stomping grounds. She was born in 1926 in a small area near Orfino, Idaho, Grangemont, Idaho area. Now, Orfino is about 70 miles north of Grangeville, Idaho. I've been to this area multiple times. It's absolutely beautiful country. But according to my own adoptive mother, this area is very, very strange. My adoptive mother was born in a logging family, the Danner family. They lived a logging crew life. The boys logged, their dad logged, they were loggers. Well, being loggers in this area, they had stories of friends that suddenly vanished from the work site. Other loggers that would disappear. Nobody knew where they went. No idea what to think of the disappearance. And a lot of the lore talked about upright creatures that were covered in hair, as well as things that they referred to as hide behinds. These creatures are creatures of cryptozoology that the hide behind will sneak up on you while you're not looking. They'll hide behind a tree. You might see their arm wrapped around the tree or see their head poke out. But you'll only get a very, very fast glimpse of them if you're lucky. But those that weren't lucky get snatched by a hide behind. They get taken. And what happens to them after that, no one knows. But that's what a lot of the lore from experienced loggers would tell stories about. I take all these stories with a grain of salt. You don't know why another person might want to wander off voluntarily. And it's hard to tell if it wasn't voluntarily, what the heck could have happened to them in the wilds of Idaho, especially in the early 1900s. There's a few stories in here that my adoptive mother knew about. And we're going to start off going right down the list in order of when each case occurred. The first case is that of Grover Ray, a 27-year-old male, vanished November 5th of 1938 in the Nez Perce National Forest. The Nez Perce National Forest is a 4-million-acre forest bounded on the east boundary by the state of Montana and the Clearwater National Forest to the north. This area is known for wolves, black bears, coyotes, cougars, foxes, a whole host of mammals and other wildlife. It is some of the most wild country you will experience in the United States. Grover Ray was hunting with his dad and two friends close to an area known as Noose Creek. A search lasted a very long time looking for him and found no sign until a complete stranger claimed to have had a dream of where they could locate Grover's body and took the sheriff directly to Grover's remains. Grover was located 2.25 miles from his campsite along the same creek in an area that they had very much thoroughly searched. Another one that I have been told quite a bit about was of Eddie Grant, a 22-year-old male that was hunting out near Mount Baldy. Now, Mount Baldy is near Pilot Knob, which is on the border of Montana. Now, Eddie had ventured off to hunt alone from the rest of the hunting party and for some reason did not come back. The National Guard got called in to assist in the search and rescue. Bloodhounds were called in, but unfortunately the bloodhounds were unable to find a scent to track. The sheriff stated that the region Grant was last seen in is, quote, country a man could easily walk out of. And after 39 days of searching for Grant, they finally located his body. And according to a medical examiner in the area, they declared that he died of exhaustion after tripping and falling over a tree limb and was too exhausted to get up. Grant's rifle, his chaps, his hat, his hunting knife had all disappeared. Where did it go? Guns don't walk away, and animals rarely pick them up. The last one I'm going to bring up is one I don't have a whole lot of info about, but another one where a body was located in a spot previously searched. Jack Huckabee, a 78-year-old male, on the morning of October 10th, 1988, near Elk City, Idaho, told his family that he was going to go off about a half a mile from their campsite and hunt. As evening came and Jack had not returned to camp, the family became concerned and started looking for him while someone else went and contacted the sheriff's office. They searched for Jack for days before finally calling off the search. They searched multiple square miles looking for Jack. I don't have a date in front of me of when his body was located, but his body was eventually located, and he was a half a mile away from his campsite in an area that had been searched multiple times. So what happened? How is it that an area that is so thoroughly searched, knowing that this man planned to only go a half a mile from camp, where was he? I highly doubt search and rescue missed that body. It reminds me of the Joel Pressler case out of the Forlorn Lake area of Gifford Pinchot National Forest in Washington State. And those of you familiar with our YouTube channel will know that it's a memorial site that we located while we were backcountry exploring in the area ourselves. Joel was elk hunting. It was November. It was cold. When search and rescue realized they had a missing person and went looking for him, they located some clothing in the area. They said they found his parka and a glove. Joel was located, I think, 2 or 3 weeks after his disappearance by other hunters and search and rescue in the area that were doing their own thing, less than 150 yards from his pickup truck and less than 100 feet from the road. It's a strange occurrence. Search and rescue swarms this area looking for him, doesn't locate him. Snow's falling, I'll give it that. But then they locate him just a couple weeks later while it's still freezing temps out and snowing. It's a strange phenomenon. Like I said, I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole of what I think might be happening. But all I can say is there is something very strange happening in rural and remote areas of the world. Not just North America, not just the Pacific Northwest. There is a high strangeness occurring worldwide that we should all probably take a good long look at. All right. I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode of the Pacific Northwest Missing Persons Project. And as always, before you go out in the wilderness, please read up on the missing person cases from the area and just have a description of what you might be looking for while you're out recreating. You never know when you might locate something that brings answers or closure to a grieving family. Thank you.